Good morning, church. All right, welcome back. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we commit all of us into your hands. We thank you for the time that we can come together to worship you, to pray, to listen to your word. Father, we ask, oh God, Lord, for those who are down with the COVID. I pray, oh God, Lord, God over them, your precious blood to cover each and every one of them, that they recover, spirit recovery, and they be strong. Keep everyone, oh God, Lord, in the love of God, in the grace of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. Okay, now, last Sunday, I started a new series by the name of Apostle Creed. Okay, say with me, Apostle Creed. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, the big question that I'm asking all of us is that, what do you believe? You know, we can believe in all kinds of things. All of us grew up believing our parents, our grandparents, or maybe uncle, auntie. And when you look back, it's just funny, right? Just funny. Now, I just recall one of it was like, hey, you want to sharpen your knife? You can put it on the butter. Have you heard this before? I'll try to think, why this person? Maybe he misheard. He said that even the butter knife, you can sharpen the butter knife, not putting the knife on the butter. How can it be? What about this one? If you happen to eat any fruit, and somehow this fruit is grown joined together. Banana lah. I'm waiting for the durian one. Two durian together one. All right. If you happen to eat this, for guarantee, you will have twins. Anyone? Oh, I saw Peter like that. Okay, why? Oh, okay. Possible. All right, now, we all grew up like that, right? Now, we all this, and many more, okay? Many more kind of superstitions and all those, you can just name it, coming from different family background or country and all those. We just have that package of like, wow, when I look back, it's so funny, right? But that kind of belief system, sometimes when you look back, wow, am I believing a lie? All right, so when all that, yet, with all this strange belief, people believe. So when we do the Apostle Creed, okay, we are looking at, okay, what do you believe? Okay, especially when you come to believing in Jesus, okay, what does that mean? You know, Apostle Creed, the legend says that it was written by the 12 apostles. Okay, when you read that, I really like the song just now, right? And all the worship leaders who have been singing that song. All right, so you were saying that the 12 apostles actually penned down line by line, or each one gave a line for that. Friends, that's what legend says. But let me tell you that it's not, okay, it's not written by the 12 apostles. It was written 150 years after all the apostles died, and it was probably somewhere around 150 to 200 AD, okay? So talking about historically right now. And as I searched about it, he said most of them was being used during the baptismal ceremony, or it's more known as the Roman Creed. Okay, so last week I was saying that those days, okay, I read this about Hippolytus, okay? So when you baptize someone, okay, he will ask this question, do you believe, okay, God the Father Almighty, what else? Creator, okay, of heaven and earth. Then what must you respond? I believe. Then the priest will, you, okay, first round. Okay, then he'll ask you again, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I believe, one more time. And then, do you believe in Holy Spirit? Then baptize you again the third time. Wow, thank God I don't have to baptize you three times. But I will ask you three questions, okay, during water baptism. All right, now. So that was among the first use, okay, of the Apostle Creed. Now, Apostle Creed was written with three purposes. Okay, say with me, define, defend, and declare. All right? I was saying that, okay, three of my children all start with a letter D. Okay, today we have Dixon, we have Darren, okay, we have Deborah. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, now, the Apostle Creed captures the essence of what the early apostles have taught in the Scripture. All right, so the Apostle Creed is not something that you recite and then for God to answer your prayer, right? So we don't believe in incantation. That means, okay, if you were to ask something from God, you want to buy a new car, so you repeat this, you recite this Apostle Creed 10 times. Wow, you get Poton. You recite another 20 times, wow, you get Honda. I don't know. It doesn't work that way, all right? It doesn't work that way, okay? It's not something that, it's not a spell, it's not a charm, a formula, okay, for you to recite, all right, now. But it helped us, okay, in terms of defining, in terms of what the gospel is all about. It defines the gospel, the very gospel that we believe. In fact, it's the most proven summary, okay, of the gospel in the last 2 millennium, okay, as far as Christian belief. Now, It was first written because the Apostle Creed in the early centuries. It was crafted to refute, okay, the various false teachings and heresies about God, Holy Spirit, Jesus. All right? So in other words, it was written or crafted in such a way that is, okay, to correct spiritual error. So we're going to have our Victory Weekend soon. Okay, you have not gone through your Victory Weekend. This is one of the major highlights, okay, in every nation world, all right, now. So one of the topics that we talk about is about spiritual error, okay, now. So with that, in the early century, it also served the foundation. Probably you have heard about the Nicene Creed, okay, that's in 325 AD, and later on the Chalcedonian, okay, Creed in 451 AD. So the Creed just become expanded, okay, longer and longer, all right, now. Some of those that, in early false teaching, it goes, some of those things are like this, like the, what they call the Ebionites. The Ebionites believed that Jesus was just a man, all right, and these were Jewish Christians. They rejected the virgin birth. Today, there are many Ebionites. They don't believe, okay, in the virgin birth, okay, of Jesus Christ. Yes, they believe that Jesus is a good man, prophet, okay, holy man, okay. Many other religions also believe that, all right. But they don't believe, okay, in the virgin birth, all right, now. The other one is called the Docetists. Okay, some of these names you may have also never heard of. But this, the early days, you have such heresies already, all right. They believe that Jesus is not human at all. They believe, yes, Jesus is completely divine, but he's not human, all right. Then another one, Arians, okay, believe that Jesus was a demigod and a created being. All right, so which means they said God is a greater being, but he's not fully divine. You know, so all these false teaching and heresies that's already existed even today. There are many cults, okay, false religion teaching different Jesus, and when you stand where you believe, okay, do you know, okay, what you really, okay, believe? All right, so say with me, define. Defend and declare. So let us arise. Let us declare this one more time, all right? Now, shall we all arise? Okay, those online, you can also stand up if you want to, all right, now. So we're going to declare this together now. When we say, we come to the phrase of I believe, maybe I would like you to say 5 times louder, okay, than your usual, all right? Ready? 1, 2, 3. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And everybody say, amen. Amen. All right, please may be seated. Okay, some of you probably hearing this for the first time, but some of you probably in your early days of your Christian belief, you're already reciting depending on what denomination or church that you come from. Now, when we mentioned about the Holy Catholic Church, okay, when it was written, okay, it's not referring to the Roman Catholic Church, but the word Catholic is a generic, okay, name or means, okay, universal, okay, church or universal, okay, believers all over, okay, the world. Now, as we recite that, can you see that every of those phrases, okay, at the beginning, okay, the Apostle Creed was written with the I believe in God, Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus, right? So it phrased with I believe and not I know. We didn't declare saying that I know the Father, Father Almighty. No, it says, I believe. Now, there's a lot of difference between I believe and I know. Isn't it true that a lot of people know God, but not necessarily they believe, okay, who is Jesus? True or not? Sometimes when you come to a place where you probably need to check your own belief system as well. Do you know God? And probably you recite, okay, scriptures, you read the Bible, you attend life group, you faithfully attend church. But do you really believe, okay, in Jesus Christ? Now, many years ago, when I was very young, because now I'm young, those days very young, okay, now, I went for my first international mission trip, that means overseas mission trip, and it was exciting, all right? There was a time when I gave an altar call, and I said to the crowd, I said, how many of you want to know God? Wow, I thought I turned evangelist on that day, because every hand goes up. I said, wow. Then I said, this cannot be. Then I said, no, put down your hands. Let me rephrase one more time. I said, how many of you believe in Jesus Christ? Then lesser hand. I said, wow, this is the real believer. Okay, all of you come out. Okay, now. So there is a big difference between I believe and I know. All right, now. So if you choose to believe, I believe you also know. And when you know, you act upon, okay, what you believe. Can I good amen? All right, now. Just to give you the difference between I know and believe, I like the way Pastor Timothy phrased it, all right? He says that I know means you understand with your head, correct? And that's where you gather knowledge, okay, in your minds. But when you say I believe, that's where you understand with your heart. Okay, there's one time when my brother and I was sharing the gospel to my late father many years ago, all right? And we will show him Romans 10, okay, 9 and 10, if you believe, okay, in your heart, and if you confess your mind, believe in your heart, you know. And he made a comment. He said, there are so many people, they only think with their heart, their mind, but never reach their heart, all right? Many people say with their mouth, but never believe in their heart. There are so many like this, all right? And we also once said that heaven and hell is just 1 foot away. Because they know, but they never believe. So you take a ruler and measure, it's 1 foot away, all right, now. So that's how close heaven and hell, right now. A lot of people know God about God, but not a lot of people believe, all right, in Jesus Christ. So in other words, do you really put your trust in Christ? What you believe, okay, determines your action, all right? What you believe will also govern, okay, the way you make decision. Now, when we think about our everyday life, if we believe in, the most easiest illustration will be, if you believe in money, how many of you believe in money? Oh, nobody, yeah? All right. Many of us believe in money, so many times we caught in that situation or in life that is every decision you make is always about the money, all right? Whether sufficient or not sufficient, you make plans a lot, okay, based on that, all right? But then, if you believe, that's why I say if you believe money, right? If you know, okay, so if you believe money is a blessing from God, well, you change all your perspective and you find that it's easy for you to give and bless others and at the same time be a good steward, all right? Now, so today as we go on part two, we're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Say with me, Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you address Jesus, but he is our Lord, okay? So in that phrase in the Apostle Creed is that I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, all right? Now, how many of us realize that each time when you look at or when you declare or you recite Apostle Creed, or each time when you say, I believe, okay, in God, or I believe in Jesus Christ, or I believe in the Holy Spirit, you immediately draw a line with every other religion in the world. Because in that declaration, you make a claim of who Jesus is, and which means Christianity is utterly, okay, unique, okay, than any other religion in the world. Okay, today we're going to look at this short passage, okay, from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 16. All right, now, you can turn to your, if you bring your Bible, you can turn to that, okay, or you can look at the screen, all right, now. It says here, okay, I want you to read with me, all right? And when it comes, there are two main questions, okay, that Jesus asked, okay, and these two, all right? So I'm going to read that, and then when it comes to that orange color, I want you to say it aloud, all right? Okay, ready? Matthew 16, 13 to 16, verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So two major questions Jesus asked. The first question was, what do people say, okay, that I am? Now, culturally, many people, okay, have wrong perception of Jesus. I don't know how you grew up, okay, knowing Jesus. All of us have our package of how you encounter Jesus. Yes, okay, I like to have fellowship and just hear your stories, okay, how you have come to know Jesus. Some of you probably led by your parents, some are friends, some very few, okay, actually walk into the church and say, I believe in Jesus and all those. Now, when I was very young, okay, we always picture Jesus as the white God. You know what I mean? Okay, which a white God, a white man that actually come from America. How many of you know that it's not true? Okay, it's not true, all right? Now, many associated Christianity as the, especially for Penang and for us who are Chinese-speaking, we always say that that is the Amor Kao. Okay, Amor Kao means the Western religion. Okay, Western religion. Now, how many of us actually knew that this, the truth of matter is, it's not. Jesus is not from America. And I talked to some of my friends who are from, my classmates who are from America, I said that there's many of us actually believe that when we were young, you know, we were saying that Jesus is the white man or the white religion, white people religion. But it's not true, okay? Jesus actually is from Israel, the Middle East, all right? Now, likewise, when we were growing up, okay, we were not, me and my family were not Christian, okay? We grew up in a Chinese religion, but many times when we fill up the form, what do we take? We'll go through, we will take Buddhism. Right. When we take Buddhism, when I became a Christian, I say, lo and behold, we are not even a Buddhist. Because there's not even a single Buddha statue in our house. We never even mentioned Buddha at all in our whole life, you know. So it was like, oh. But most Chinese people believe that Buddhism was originated from China. But was Buddha from China? No, he was not. Where is he from? India. But how do you know it's from India? Actually, today, if you Google, right, it doesn't state he's from India. He says he's from Nepal. So you go and search, all right? It's all in the internet. Maybe you discover something more interesting, right? Now, why do people say that? What do people, okay? Who do people say that I am? So interestingly, in this passage, Jesus and disciples have come to this district called Caesarea Philippi. Now, it's something about this place that why Jesus asked this question. Okay, if also was that place, that spot that Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. All right, so this was that location. Now, we have opportunity to be at the Holy Land, Israel. And, of course, this is the artist's impressions and all those. Okay, it's a Caesarea Philippi. And, of course, you see the name means you know that the Caesar, okay, that the Herod wanted to honor, okay, the emperor, so named Caesarea, the same time, okay, Philip, okay, one of his relative, all right, so putting the two names together. Now, in this place, right, it's full of what we call, okay, shrine, grotto, okay, the Greek gods, and you can see grotto or pan, or pan, you know what's meaning of pan? Some of you like Peter Pan, you know, okay, all right, Pan, okay, now, it's Banias, okay, the original name is Banias, so in other words, the city of Pan, okay, the city of where the people devoted to worship the Pan, the Greek god, okay, now, when you refer to that, that means if half man, half god, so this is a place they are so religious, okay, and they will just worship, they'll just worship anything. All right, and this in this case, of course, the Greek god of Pan, okay, half god, half man, and Jesus and disciples were here. And they believe in this place was a gateway to the underworld, okay, and this city was filled with niches and statues of pagan deities, all right. Now, that's also the word why pantheism come from, okay, the word Pan, all right. Now, pantheism means they believe everything is God, okay, everything that they worship. Everything that they can see, they worship because they worship everything. I don't know whether you grew up, that was a moment in my life when I was very young, okay, so I don't know whether I'm naughty or not, all right? So things like, I was told by my parents, everywhere you go, you must buy one. How many of you have gone through that? Okay, you go out, see the tree, you paipai a bit. You see the dog also paipai a bit. You see you see the river paipai a bit. You enter a place of paipai. So I was there's a moment in my life was like that because I was told everything is God. So when you sit down at a table for dining, there's God in the spoon, there's God in the fork, there's God in the chopstick, God in the plate, God in the table, God in the chair. Wow, I'm sitting on you, God. So that was very young when you think about it. Wow, what is that? Okay, that I was believing. Now, many of us, we also have a God called the belly God. It says belly good. All right, now, that's where it's called the middle kingdom. In every kingdom, there is a king. So hope that's not your God. Okay, now, so here was the pantheism. Okay, where the people believe. That's where here Jesus asked the question, who do people say that I am? So over there in their mind, they already knew. Okay, there was a Jewish God, the Greek God. Okay, maybe they already believe there's something called the Venus, the Mercury or Hercules, okay, and Percy Jackson or whatever, all right? In their mind, they all believe in all those. And of course, in this case, it's the half-God, half-man. Half-goat. Half man, kind of God, okay, they are believing. And here Jesus asked the disciples. And the disciples gave four answers. He gave four answers. Okay, that is, Jesus, they said, you are John the Baptist, you know. Number two, they say you are Elijah because he performed all miracles and all those. You are Jeremiah, the prophet, and one of the prophets. That's why you can perform all these miracles and all those. So this was the reply, okay, given by the disciples. So that was the time when Jesus turned to all disciples and said, what about you? What do you say that I am? So in other words, all of us, you got to ask that question. Who is Jesus to you actually? Wow, okay. So with that, this three phrases that I want to go through with you is that, who is Jesus, okay, to you? Who do you believe? And Peter, okay, among all the disciples, he answered, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, number one, I believe Jesus the Christ. Now, what does that mean? Who is Jesus Christ? You see, among all the questions in the world posed by whether ancient men and women or modern men and women, okay, this is very important. It is no exaggeration to say that this is a central question in history. And this is the most question asked, okay, people ask, and probably people will ask you as well. Who is Jesus Christ? Where did he come from? Why did he come? Any difference that he could make in your life? Okay, at the end of the day is every one of us got to deal with who is Jesus Christ, okay, to you. You can avoid the question. You can run away. You can postpone it. You pretend you didn't hear it. But at the end of the day, you still come to a place that who is Jesus to you? Now, what's the meaning of Jesus? Now, the word Jesus derived from Hebrew word, name, okay, this is Yeshua. That's why when you read the book of Joshua, okay, that's the name, okay, of Jesus, right? Jesus, right? Now, the name Jesus or Yeshua, okay, it means to rescue, to deliver, to save. That's why the name Jesus means God save, Savior. Jesus, my Savior. My Jesus, my Savior. That's the name, all right? Now, how he got the name, if we go back, and now in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, okay, there's this the angel that appeared, okay, to Joseph, all right? And then in that dream, okay, Joseph was being told that Mary, okay, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. All right, and he will save his people from sin. All right, so the name of Jesus itself means God save, Savior. Then again, what is the meaning of Christ? Now, meaning of Christ means the anointed, the Messiah. So Jesus Christ. So Jesus, the Savior, Messiah, the anointed one. Now, by saying that, right, when you think about Jesus' name, Jesus Christ, now, many times you may think that, oh, Jesus Christ. Christ must be his family name. What's my family name? Lim. And probably you think, when I believe in Jesus, oh, I'm a Christian. Okay, I carry the same name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you that the way Peter replied, Peter says, you are the Christ.
So in other words, when we say that, what does that mean, right? What does that mean? Okay, now, so that means that, okay, Christ, which means the anointed one, okay, Messiah. So Peter is saying, hey, Jesus, you are a savior, and you are the anointed one. So in other words, when we say Jesus Christ, we supposed to say Jesus the Christ, Jesus who is the anointed one. Because Christ is not Jesus' last name or his family name. Because Jesus did not grow up in a family called Christ. I grew up in a family called Lim, the Lim family, all right? So rightfully, we should call Jesus the Christ. So in other words, Jesus is not a Christ. He is the Christ. Now, why is that so? Because in Jesus' time, there are also other people named Jesus. Right? If you go to Holy Land today, you might meet someone named Jesus. Jesus. Now, I was in this class, and my classmates was many from different country and all those, and especially if they come from the Spanish world and all those. And we have someone by the name of Jesus. So our speaker was saying, okay, the class is very small, and then he said, all right, this morning we will begin by asking Jesus to pray for us. Wow, we all like, wow, Jesus pray for us. Oh, okay, all right now. Anybody named Abraham? Named Moses? Okay, we'd like to ask you to pray for us. Wow, Moses pray for us. Okay, now. So it was just funny, okay, during that time. So Jesus the Christ. He is the King of Kings, He's the Lord of Lords, and He is the Messiah. And no other gods, okay, can be, okay, compared, okay, to Him. So I'm saying that in that background, when Jesus said, who do you say I am? So Jesus is saying, I am not the Jews, I am not this half goat and half man, I am not, okay, the Hercules, okay, the son of the Jews and all. I am not. Okay, I am Jesus the Christ. I am the Savior of the world. I am the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Savior and Messiah. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no, there's no other way, all right? So to call Jesus Christ, to give you that, just to read that for you, it will be, to call Jesus the Christ means He is the one whom God promised to send to deliver Israel and to bring salvation to the world, all right? The Bible has how many books? 66, all right? Written by about 40 different people over 1,500 years and has only one message. And that message is God's plan of salvation for mankind through Jesus the Christ, all right? Now, I found this phrase, I find so interesting. It says, the Old Testament say Jesus is coming. The Gospel say Jesus is here. The Book of Acts says He has come. The Epistle says He is Lord. The Book of Revelation says Jesus is coming again. I go to heaven. All right, now. I'm also captivated with one of the mathematicians, okay, saying that the Bible is full of messianic prophecies. And this mathematician by the name of Peter Stoner, he counted all the probability of one person fulfilling even a small number of the prophecy. Okay, it's just astounding when I look at that. He concluded, okay, the chance of a single man fulfilling just 48, now just take 48 of the prophecy in the Tanakh, okay, or the Old Testament. He said that is one in the power of 10 of 157. So it means the chances of that to take place is one followed by times are multiplied by 157 zero. And friends, Jesus the Christ fulfilled that. Can I go there, man? All right. So to say Jesus is the Christ means that He is the one sent by God to bring God to us and to bring us to God. Jesus is the Christ. Amen. Still believe in Jesus? All right now. Number two, who do you say that I am? I believe in the Son of the living God. So Peter, right, he said, you are the Christ. And then he followed by saying that the Son of the living God. You know, for Peter to say that, Jesus has not gone to the cross yet. Okay? Jesus is the Son of the living God. What Peter is saying? Peter is saying that Peter believed that Jesus, the Jesus that we believe, is alive. He's not dead. Okay? He is alive. Now, when you think about Jesus alive, I want to tell you this story, right? We were in Israel, and And of course, the tour guide, one of the itinerary is to go to the tomb of Jesus. So we all went, I think what, 30 of us, plus one bus load, like 30 plus of us, okay, went to the place. Wow, that place, right? Compact. It was so many people. Then we were thinking like, do we queue here? You know, as we queue, right, our local tour guide said this. Okay, guys, don't waste your time. Don't need to queue. Don't waste your time. I'll bring you to another place. You know why? It's empty. Don't you believe? Don't you believe the tomb of Jesus is empty? It's a waste of time, all right? Let them queue. We go to another place, all right? So he brought us to another place called the Garden Tomb. And it was so nice, so serene, okay, which is just nearby. And in fact, early morning, every day in the morning, I go out and I run past this place many times. I didn't know that, okay, this is a place that we will be visiting. This is the Garden Tomb, which was more meaningful. And we have a reflection there. We have a colleague communion there. Friends, do I have to tell you that the tomb is empty? The tomb is empty. The Jesus that we believe in is Jesus, the Son of the living God. All right. Every other God, you can name him in this world, they're all dead, all right, but not Jesus. So that is where Peter, all right, in this case, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon Bar-Jonah means Simon, son of. Bar means bin, all right, son of, okay, Bar-Jonas. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So you see, for us coming to know Christ, it's about the moment that you say, wow, this is Jesus I believe. It's a revelation that came and it was revealed by God, okay, the Father. Now, I'd like to read this from C.S. Lewis. Some of us will probably got the summary, okay, whether Jesus is a man, he's a lunatic, okay, he's a liar, or he's really the Son of God, all right? Now, many, including theologians, liberal Christians, they always fight, okay, this truth that Jesus is not truly God. And C.S. Lewis, look at this, okay? I'd like to read it to you. Huh? He put it this way. I don't know how you can read, but let me read, okay? He says, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as the great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. Okay, that's what he said about people say, all right? That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things, Jesus would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who say he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is and the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit on him or kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. So you can read that, okay, in the book called Mere Christianity. I believe. Who do you say I am? Jesus asked. I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe Jesus is the Son of living God. I believe, third one, Jesus is our Lord. The last one, and I'm going to end, all right? How many minutes? Okay. I'll do this quick, all right, now. The third, so call all these are like a title for Jesus. So this third title is Jesus our Lord. Now, I'd like to quote from one-to-one as we talk about one-to-one just now, all right, launching. Now, it says here, Lordship is one of the central message of the Bible. Jesus referred to as Lord how many times in the book of Acts? 100 times. But 622 times in the whole New Testament. That's a lot, all right? While the word Savior only appeared 2 times in the book of Acts and 24 times in New Testament. Wow. So much thought about who Jesus is, the Lord. So the Lord means master, the one who calls the shot. Now, in the one-to-one session, I do one-to-one with people, I say, okay, today you may not call, oh, Lord, my Lord. You go to your, if you're renting a house, how do you call the owner of the house? Landlord. Oh, Mr. Landlord, do you say that? No, right? So, the word Lord is the boss. Who is the boss of your life? Now, I want to, just to capture this, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament days, when, or during the Roman Empire, all right, now, is common, okay, for the Roman Empire or the people or the subjects, okay, the commoner, to call Caesar Lord Caesar, all right? And which means Caesar is the absolute ruler. Now, to call Jesus Lord, you're just waiting to be executed. That's what it means, all right? Now, so when Paul, we're going to do the book of Romans, okay? When Paul says in Romans 10, 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, to say that, right, it doesn't sound happy for everyone, you know? Because the moment you say Jesus is Lord means what? You get ready to die. Because any of the Roman soldiers will hear this, will execute you. How can you be safe? So for them to say Jesus is Lord, it means their entire life, my friend. It's not like today, oh, Jesus is Lord, I believe in Christ. If you're so happy, right? No. For them, it takes their life. So the Roman world has stretched from Europe to the Middle East across northern coast of Africa. Okay, which means everywhere they go, they collect taxes. Every time they come, they all have to bow down. The people have to bow down and say, Caesar is Lord. Okay, and then you just continue. Whatever you want to believe, you're going to believe. You go on as business as usual. But not with Jesus believers. They will not confess Caesar is Lord because Jesus is their Lord. So that's where persecution that took place. When they refused to say Caesar is Lord, they were being slaughtered, murdered, crucified, burned, okay, at stake, killed by the sword, thrown and eaten by the wild animals, just because they say Jesus is Lord. So can you imagine the first century or second century when this was said, I believe in Jesus, God's only Son and our Lord. It means right deep in the heart, not just a play thing, all right? Who is the boss of your life? If Jesus is Lord and He is God, He is a Savior, He is a Messiah, God's only Son, it is only Jesus that we worship. A good amen? All right? I'm going to end. Worship team comes back. All right? So what shall we say then? First, it's biblical. Two, it's historical. Christianity is a historical religion in a sense, and it is true. So when we declare, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, that means we declare to the world, and that's what we firmly believe and hold dear to the core of our hearts and mind. When we confess that this to be true without regard, okay, to what others may choose to believe, all right, we say that Jesus is the Lord and the boss of our life. And good amen. All right. We're going to pray. So who is Jesus? Who do people say that Jesus is? Who do people say Jesus is? Now, some of us may have seen this, yes. People buy this fish thing and put in their car, at the back of the car, or you carry something like that, right? The fish. Now, the Greek word for this is actually fish. Okay, fish. Now, interestingly, when I see this, oh, yeah, all right, now. So, it's a... The Greek word, okay, of that's what it stands for, and it's the I is the first letter for Jesus. X was the first letter for Christ. TH was the first letter for God. U was the first letter for Son, and S was the first letter of Savior in Greek, lah, huh? So, which means when the early Christians, right, they go around, okay, this is how they identify one another. They will show the fish sign, okay, fish. Right, so just to tell them I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. So as we pray today, okay, do you go back to the question, do you believe or you just want to know? No, sometimes we ask people, oh, I want to know more. But do you know or actually you want to believe? So do you just want to know Jesus or do you really want to believe in Jesus? That's a question that every one of us, okay, got to answer. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands. Thank you, Lord, that we preach about the Apostle Creed. It's not that the Apostle Creed carries certain magic, no, but it's all based on the biblical truth, okay, and what the early apostles have taught. Father, I pray, Lord God, even as we grow, okay, and knowing you, cause that desire for us to grow deeper, knowing, not only knowing, but believing in Jesus Christ. Father, today I commit all of us into your hands. I pray, Lord God, Lord, for all those who wanting to know Jesus, that will also come to a place, okay, to believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, and He is the Savior, He's the Messiah, He is the Lord, and He can be the Lord of your life. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. Give Jesus a big hand. Hope you learned something this morning.